Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our communion service this morning. Our table is open to anyone who loves and serves the Lord, but if you do not wish to partake of communion, then please pass the bread and the wine to the person beside you. And the bread is gluten-free, so everyone can partake. The children are present with us this morning, and after the children's talk and hymn, they will go out to their Tots, Jigsaw and Blast organisations. And I would encourage as many of you as are able to return this evening for a Thanksgiving service at 7 o'clock, which will be followed by a short communion service for those unable to be out this morning. So let us come before God as we come to him in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we praise you for the wonders of your creation, for the depths of your love, and for your never-ending mercy towards your people, men and women made in your image with hearts to love and serve you, minds to delight and revel in your truth, and wills to follow after you. But we confess, O Lord, that our love for you is shallow and our service often half-hearted. Our desire to learn from your word and to grow in faith is often weak and lackluster, and our willingness to follow in your ways is so sorely tested. Forgive us, we pray, for our lack of love, for our failure to trust in you, and our refusal to walk obediently in your ways of truth and justice. We give thanks, Lord, for our Saviour Jesus, who came into this world to show us the way, the truth and the life, the one who nourishes us in faith with the bread of life. We give thanks today for his great sacrifice in laying down his perfect, sinless life, that we, through faith, can receive forgiveness of sin and new life in his name. We give thanks for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who dwells in the hearts of all believers, and we ask that we would be attentive to your Spirit's leading and guiding as we live for you in the world today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Loving Jesus, we thank you for our salvation. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for your living presence within us today. Encourage, inspire, and equip us to be your servants in the world, showing your love, declaring your mercy, and bringing your kingdom to reign on earth as it does in heaven. These prayers we offer in the precious name of our Saviour Jesus. Amen. We continue in our attitude of worship as we sing hymn 98, which is based on Psalm 23. But hymn 98 is "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." So let us stand and worship our great King. the children in the congregation would like to come up to the front, I have some things I'd like to chat to you about this morning. Great to have you here this morning. Lovely. Now, for those of you who are very observant and who notice when things are different, what is different about the church this morning? What have you noticed that's different? Yeah. It's communion. And how do you know it's communion? What is it that's different about? There's white cloths over the table. Indeed, normally that's bare. What about down where you were sitting? Did you notice something different in the pews? On the pews, on the tops of the pews. Yeah. So there's white cloths on the tops of the pews and there's white cloths on the table. Now, why do you think we have those white cloths on the pews? Tell you what, when would you normally have a cloth on the table? At home. When you're at home, maybe, hopefully, maybe. Maybe that's all gone now. Because I'm thinking I don't put a cloth on my table either. But if you're having a big meal, maybe at Christmas, you might have a cloth on the table. Why would you have that?
Because I'm going to eat.
You're going to eat something, that's right. So you put a cloth on the table to protect the table from all the food spills, although I'm sure none of you would ever spill any food. Your mum and dad might, but I don't think you would. So that's really what we're doing here today. So we have to use our imaginations, okay? We have to imagine that we're sitting not in pews, but we're sitting at a table. So the little bits of white linen that are on the pews and the white linen that's here on the communion table is a reminder to us that we are sitting down for a very special meal at the table, okay? And that very special meal was a meal that Jesus asked us to have in his memory, to remember him. Now, he had this very special meal, and there were two elements to this meal. There were two things that we were to eat and drink, and I have brought a little sample here. So anybody tell me what is on the plate?
Wine and bread.
Wine and bread. So there's wine in the wine goblet and there's bread on the plate. And Jesus was meeting with his disciples, with his 12 disciples, in a special room in Jerusalem. And they were having a special meal together that people who followed the Jewish faith would have had at this particular time of year. When Jesus did something strange, he stood up. And he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And then in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new salvation in my name. And the blood has been shed for the forgiveness of sins." So Jesus was telling his disciples that he was going to die on the cross at Calvary. We know that story from Easter, don't we? When Jesus died on the cross for our sin. And so he wanted his disciples then, and he wants his followers today to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, that he was willing to go to the cross for our sin and for our salvation and to offer us new life in him. And so when you grow up a little, maybe when you're in second form, maybe even when you're away at university, maybe when you're married, whenever you feel the time is right and you want to seek to follow Jesus with all your heart, then you will come before a church, maybe this church, maybe another church, and you'll make profession of your faith in Jesus as your Saviour and your Lord. And you will be admitted into the communicant membership of that church, and you will then be able to take the bread and the wine because that's what Jesus asked us to do. So that's what we do here in First Oma. And we do it on three Sundays in the year. The first Sunday in November, first Sunday in February, and the first Sunday in May. We do it just the three times in the year to remind us of the very special sacrifice that Jesus made for us. So we're going to say a little prayer to thank Jesus, and then we're going to sing your hymn. And after that, you'll go out to your classes in Jigsaw and Blast. So let's join together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you gave us this example to follow, this meal to share together, to remind us of your love for us and how you died on the cross at Calvary so that we could know forgiveness of sin and new life in your name. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather here today in this church and to learn from you and to learn of you and to grow in faith and in service. And we pray your blessing upon these children gathered here this morning. We pray that they too will continue to grow in knowledge of you, but more than that they will seek to love and serve you all the days of their lives. And we thank you, Lord, for all your goodness to us. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So we're going to sing a song of praise and thanks to God. It's "Thank You, Jesus, Thank You, Lord, for Loving Me." And then it's time for your classes. Come now to our scripture reading, which is from John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 1 to 14, and this will be read for us by David Vance. John chapter 6, verses 1 to 14, and this can be found on page 123 of the Bibles in the pews.
Jesus feeds 5,000 men. After this, Jesus went across Lake Galilee, or Lake Tiberias, as it is also called. A large crowd followed him because they had seen his miracles of healing those who were ill. Jesus went up a hill and sat down with his disciples. The time for the Passover festival was near. Jesus looked around and saw that a large crowd was coming to him. So he asked Philip, "Where can we buy enough food to feed all these people?" He said this to test Philip. Actually, he had already knew what he would do. Philip answered, "For everyone to have even a little, it would take more than 200 silver coins to buy enough bread." Another of his disciples, Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, said, "There is a boy here who has 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fish. But they will certainly not be enough for all these people. Make the people sit down, Jesus told them. There was a lot of grass there. So all the people sat down. There were about 5,000 men. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to God, and distributed it to the people who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, and they all had as much as they wanted. When they were all full, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces left over. Let us not waste any." So they gathered them all up and filled 12 baskets with the pieces left over from the 5 barley loaves which the people had eaten. Seeing this miracle that Jesus had performed, the people there said, "Surely this is the prophet who was to come into the world." May God bless us as reading from his word. Amen.
Thank you, David. Bread is a staple food in the diets of most nations on earth. Italy has the ciabatta bread. Greece has the pita bread. India has naan bread. France has the croissant. Britain has the loaf. Mexico, the fajita. And Northern Ireland, the soda farl. And I love every single one of those breads, which may be the reason why I have the number on the scales that I do when I stand on them at the start of every month. But bread is the staple of many people's diets. We are fortunate here in Northern Ireland that we can have a very varied diet, but many people rely on simple foods like bread and vegetables and meat. Even the children of Israel had special bread. God sent them manna from heaven when they were travelling through Egypt. So it was little flakes that they were able to turn into bread to eat. And it was provided on the ground every morning for them. But this morning we're going to look at a bread that has been sent to all the nations of the earth. A bread that sustains and nourishes us not just for this life, but for the life that is come. And that bread is Jesus Christ. In verse 35 of John's Gospel, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus is our spiritual bread and water. He is the one who sustains and nourishes us in the faith so that we can grow in grace and are strengthened for service. Jesus is the bread of life, and he calls us to gather around this table to remember him as we eat bread and as we drink wine, to remind us of the sacrifice that he made that we might have life everlasting. Leonardo da Vinci famously painted that inaugural First Supper in the upper room on the night before Jesus was betrayed. In that painting, he depicts Jesus at the centre of the table, his 12 disciples gathered round him, some listening avidly to every word he speaks, others distracted by who the greatest was amongst them, others plotting to betray him. They gathered in that upper room to remember the Jewish Passover, the time when God saved his people from the tyranny of Egypt and set them free to return to the promised land. It was an important religious ritual, and one which Jesus fully participated in when he was here in earth. But that night, Jesus inaugurated another religious ritual when he enacted the very first Last Supper. He took bread, he gave thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Jesus instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper that night in the upper room with a motley crew of disciples around him, one who would betray him, one who would deny him, all who would desert him. And he calls us to this holy meal today, a motley crew of people, some who have been faithful, some who have been distracted by worldly things, some who may deny him out there in the street or in the office or in the school, others who may turn their back upon him, pursuing their own way. But each and every one of us are invited by the Lord to come and receive what he has to offer to us. He says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry or thirsty again." As Christians, we gather here this morning to give thanks for Christ's body broken on the cross at Calvary and for his blood shed for the forgiveness of our sin. He was willing to sacrifice his life that we might find life in him. He calls us to meet together to remember that sacrifice by partaking of this holy meal together. We don't come to this table because we are holy. We come because we are unholy and in need of Christ's love and his mercy. It is here in bread and wine that God's wrath against sin and his love for the sinner meet at the table of the Lord. Christ paid that sacrifice for us, his body broken, his blood shed, that we might receive forgiveness of our sin and new life in his name. Today we come to give thanks to Christ for what he has done for us and to remember him. We come to give thanks to God for his goodness to us in our Saviour Jesus Christ. And we come as fallen disciples of Jesus to be nourished in our faith by the bread of life. Jesus often used meals as a way of explaining the kingdom of God to his followers. The parable of the wedding feast, the invitation to Zacchaeus to come down so that he could go to his house for tea, Jesus being accused of dining with sinners, the Last Supper that we are celebrating today, the cooked breakfast on the shore, reinstating the disciple, all the disciples into Jesus' fellowship after his resurrection. And then, of course, the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. In all these incidents, Jesus showed willingness to break bread with others, to sit down and to share a meal with them. The Son of God, dining with sinners, sharing his life with others, giving us food that lasts eternally. These dining experiences were not for Jesus' enjoyment, though I am sure he thoroughly enjoyed those meals and the company that surrounded those tables. But the purpose of the feasting is for our benefit and not for Jesus. He was revealing to us the kingdom of God, a kingdom of generosity and grace, of faith and forgiveness, of welcome and inclusion. We'll spend a few moments looking at just one of those stories of feasting, the parable of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Jesus had left the crowds, crossed the lake of Galilee to spend some time with his disciples, but the people followed him. Over 5,000 of them, eager to see more miraculous healings. And just like the disciples gathered around that table, in that 5,000 followers, there were a motley crew. Some who were searching for faith, some who were curious, some who were sceptical, some who were in desperate need, and some who just decided to follow the crowd and see what was happening. None of them had been specifically invited by Jesus, but all had followed him to this remote place. And so the question was posed, "It's getting late," said Jesus. "Where can we buy enough food to feed all these people?" Philip replied, "To give everybody just a little bit of food, it's going to take 200 silver coins to buy enough bread." A silver coin in those days was the equivalent of a daily wage of a farm worker. So almost 2/3 of a farm worker's annual salary was required to buy bread to give people just a little bit to eat. The disciples didn't have that kind of money. They weren't even near a shop that would enable them to buy that amount of bread. It was an impossible task. Andrew, one of the other disciples, the encourager, the one who brought people to Jesus, looked around and he discovered a young boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He brought that to Jesus, but he said, "Jesus, that's not going to be enough to feed everyone." This miraculous event is recorded in all 4 Gospels. But it's only in the Gospel of John that we find that it was a young boy who had the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. I read that in a commentary and I thought, that can't be right. So I read the other Gospel accounts and it's true. Only in the Gospel of John does it tell us that it was a little boy who brought those 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Who was that boy? Was he part of the crowd who were following Jesus? Could he even have been a son of one of the disciples? We don't know, but we do know that his mother sent him out well prepared for the day with ample provisions. And Jesus took this small offering of 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he gave thanks to God. Then he broke the bread, and he distributed it to the disciples to share with the crowd. A simple demonstration of faith. Jesus took what was offered, gave thanks to God, and then used it to share with others. As a result, 5,000 men were fed. The commentaries say that there could have been women and children on top of those 5,000 numbers, but we just don't know. It was a miraculous event. The people were fed that day by the hillside in Lake Galilee. But more than just receiving food to eat for their tea, the disciples learnt a lot from that example. Jesus taught them that if they were willing to offer to him whatever it was they had, he would take that offering. He would thank God for that offering. And then he would use it to accomplish more than they could ever hope or imagine. That event spoke into the hearts and the minds of the disciples who were gathered there, and it gave them faith. Faith for today, faith for tomorrow, faith for the future. The disciple Philip would have understood that this was miraculous because he knew how much money they would have needed to feed the crowd. The disciple Andrew would have understood that because the little boy gave 5 loaves and 2 fish, it couldn't possibly feed so many people. The young boy would have discovered that his small lunchbox had been used by Jesus to feed 5,000 people. The impact was significant on all the disciples. And that same Jesus who performed that miracle on the shores of Lake Galilee is the Jesus who stands at this communion table today, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And he will take whatever we have to offer him. He will bless it abundantly, and he will accomplish much more than we could ever hope or imagine. If only we would be willing, like that little boy, to give Jesus all that we have. As followers of Jesus, we come to him to be fed today, to be nourished in the faith, and to receive from him forgiveness of sin and life everlasting in his name. But it is not just one way It's not just us receiving from him. Jesus also calls us to generously give our all to him, to give to Jesus all that we have, so that he can use it to bring a blessing to others. So what do you have in your hands to bring to Jesus today? We can bring a heart willing to love others. Jesus fed 5,000 people. Some were genuine followers of his, but many were not. Jesus shared bread and wine at that first Last Supper with people he knew would betray, disown, and desert him. Why did he do it? Because he had a heart of love for sinners like you and me. And he calls us to have a heart of love for others. Not just a heart for fellow believers, but a heart of love for all people. Are you willing to offer your heart to Jesus today, to receive his love for you and to be filled with love and compassion for others? It is not always easy to love those whom we already love. But Jesus calls us to love people who are our enemies. He can take the little bit of love that we have naturally in our hearts, and he can turn that into great love and compassion to others. Are you willing to surrender your heart to Jesus and be used by him to offer his love to others? We can also bring our eyes of faith, eyes that look out on the world around and see the need that exists there, 5,000 people that need fed. We can see the potential in 5 loaves and 2 fish. But we turn to Jesus with eyes of faith and ask to see where God is at work in the will and in the lives of his people, so that we can do all that we can to meet that need that exists in our world. It's not easy to have eyes only for Jesus. We are often so tempted by what the world has to offer us instead. Supposed happiness, contentment, success, love, power. The world offers these so easily. Yet if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, if we're willing to surrender to him, then he can use us to meet the need that is in our broken world and to bring his love and his compassion to others. If only we would have eyes of faith. We can also bring feet that are willing to follow the Master's path. Jesus calls us to be disciples today, to come and follow him, to be obedient to his call on our lives, to walk not along the path of the world, but along the path of faith. It will not be easy. There will be difficulties and challenges. But if we come to Jesus and offer our feet to him, he will lead and guide us along his ways of righteousness. And he will take our offering and use it to bless others. So this morning, are you willing to be let your feet be given to Jesus, to be used by him to share his good news with the world? When we turn to Jesus, he takes us as we are, with all our faults and all our imperfections, with all our insecurities and all of our problems, and he transforms us through the power of his body broken and his blood shed into the people that he longs for us to be. People who love others with unfailing love. People who have eyes of faith, hands for service, and feet to follow the Master's path. Are we willing this morning to bring to Jesus all that we have, to trust in the one who is the bread of life, to meet not only our daily needs and to provide for us, but to provide for a hurting and a broken world? If we are willing to trust in him, then Jesus will take our small offerings and he will give thanks to God for it, and he will use it to bring a blessing to others. and to build his kingdom and bring glory to his name. So we gather at this table of the Lord to give thanks for all that he has done for us and to offer our lives in loving sacrifice to him, trusting that he will take what we have brought and he will use it for his glory. Amen. We come now to receive your offerings of finances, but also take this moment and this time to think about the offering that you can give with your lives to Jesus in response to his wonderful sacrificial offering for us. Your offering will be received. Two little fishes, 5 loaves of bread, 5,000 people by Jesus were fed. This is what happened when one little lad gladly gave Jesus all that he had. And so, O Lord, this morning we come and give you all that we have. We give it to you, Lord Jesus, to take it and to use it, to bless it and to increase it, and to bring forth your kingdom here on earth. In your name we pray. Amen. So as we gather around this table of the Lord, we will stand together to sing of him, our great King, who was meek and majesty as well, full of meekness and majesty. So we sing hymn number 415, Meekness and Majesty. Please be seated. The table of the Lord Jesus Christ is open to all who are in communion with him. We therefore invite members of any branch of his church who love the Lord Jesus Christ to join with us as we share in this holy meal together. If you do not wish to take communion, then please do just pass the bread and wine to the person next to you in the pew. The elders are now going to go round and receive the communion tokens. As a declaration of our faith in Jesus Christ, we stand together to recite the words of the Apostles' Creed. They will display on the screen, and it can be found in hymn 378 of your hymn books. Let us stand together and recite our Apostles' Creed, faith in Jesus Christ. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was crucified by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, and he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Church, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us listen to the words of the institution of the Lord's Supper according to St. Paul. For I received from the Lord that which I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Living God, we proclaim you Lord and King over our lives. You are majestic in holiness, abounding in love, and a worker of miracles. In the beginning, you created this universe and sustained it by your mighty hand. You breathed life into our lungs and you sustain us day by day through your mercy and your grace. Even in our sinfulness and our rebellion, you did not abandon us to our fate, but in your great mercy, you sent your Son Jesus into the world to be our Saviour. Though he did no wrong, he was rejected and despised by all, and abandoned to the darkness of the cross. But you made that tree of death the tree of life, the empty grave a sign of glorious hope, when you raised your Son to life and brought him to your side to reign in the heavenly realms where he intercedes for us today. We give thanks, O Lord, for Jesus and for all that he has achieved for us on the cross. We celebrate this holy meal of bread and wine in his memory, proclaiming his death and announcing his resurrection until that day comes when he returns to reign in all his glory. Send down, O Lord, your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that they may become for us the body and blood of your most precious Son, and that we may become for you his living body, loving and caring in the world until his return. Gracious God, we ask that you would accept these, our offerings of praise and thanksgiving, and the offering of our very selves, through our thoughts, our words, our desires, and our actions. Unite us together with all the faithful down through the ages and across your worldwide church, that we may with one heart and one voice glorify your name and the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. According to the holy institution, example, and command of our Lord Jesus Christ, and as a memorial of him, we do this. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So take, eat. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Do this, remembering him. This cup is a new covenant by Christ's blood, which was shed for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you. As a sign of the fellowship that we have one with the other in the sharing of bread and wine, we'll now turn to one another and give one another the right hand of fellowship. Let us now come before our great God and give thanks for that which we have received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for winning everlasting life for our souls through your death on the cross and uniting us together as your people, the church. Send your Holy Spirit upon us that in all our words and works we may faithfully serve you and love you more deeply. Surround us, we pray, with your love and your mercy. Strengthen and enable us for service in the world, and help us to show our love for you in the love that we show to others. We pray, O Lord, for all who suffer in this world. Relieve their pain, comfort their sorrow, restore their hope, and draw them into a living, loving relationship with you as their Saviour and Lord. These prayers we offer in your precious name and for the sake of your kingdom here on earth. Keep us, we pray, in fellowship with you and with all who rest in you, and bring us at last into that paradise of your presence and into the communion of the everlasting love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God for ever and ever. Amen. We bring this service of communion to a close as we finish with a hymn of dedication. Take my life and let it be. Hymn number 552. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.